is 1933. Spiritual counsel given me by Father Andres. First, you must not turn away from these interior inspirations, but always tell everything to your confessor. If you recognize that these interior inspirations refer to your own self, that is to say, they are for the good of your soul or for the good of other souls, I urge you to follow them, and you must not neglect them, but always do so in consultation with your confessor. Let's make sure, no? Sometimes when you say you have inspirations, sometimes Satan can also enter with some kind of more or less wrong idea. Second, if these inspirations are not in accord with the faith or the spirit of the church, they must be rejected immediately as coming from the evil spirit. It happens. Third, if these inspirations do not refer to souls in general or specifically to the good, you should not take them too seriously, and it would be better to even ignore them. But you should not make this decision by yourself, either one way or the other, as you can easily be led astray despite these great favors from God. Humility. It is ever humility, as we can do nothing of ourselves, always purely and simply God's grace. So when she asked the spiritual director's decisions, that means you have to give up. Even you think it's best, but if the spiritual confessor says no, take away. You say to me that God demands great trust from souls. Well, then, you'll be the first to show this trust. In one more word, accept all this with serenity, peace of heart. Words of one of the confessors, sister, God is preparing many special graces for you, but try to make your life as clear as crystal before the Lord, paying no attention to what anyone else thinks about you. Let God suffice you, He alone. So there must be many people criticizing him, you know, even in the common. But all the sisters trust in her. They thought something wrong with the mind. Toward the end of my novitiate, a confessor, perhaps Father Teotl, told me, go through life doing good so that I could write in its pages. She spent her life doing good. May God bring this about in you. Another time, the confessor said to me, comport yourself before God like the widow in the gospel. Although the coin she dropped into the box was of little value, it counted far more before God than all the big offerings of others. On another occasion, the instruction I received was this: act in such a way that all those who come in contact with you will go away joyful. So, happiness about you because you have received much from God. Give them generously to others. They should like live of you with their hearts filled with joy. Even if they have no more than touched the hem of your garment, keep well in mind the words I'm telling you right now. So give joy to people, not sadness, not distraction. Still another time, he gave me the following recommendation: let God push your boat out into the deep water toward the unfathomable depths of the interior life. That's what Jesus says, ask the disciples, go into the depth. Here are a few words from a conversation I had with Mother Directress Mary Joseph toward the end of my novitiate. Sister, let simplicity and humility be the characteristic traits of the soul. Go through life like a little child, always trusting, always full of simplicity and humility, content with everything, happy in every circumstance. There, where others fear, you will pass calmly along, thanks to this simplicity and humility. Remember this, sister, for your whole life. As waters flow from the mountains down into the valley, so too do God's grace flow only into humble souls. Oh my God, I understand well that you demand this spiritual childhood of me, because you are constantly asking it of me through your representatives. At the beginning of my religious life, suffering and adversities frightened and disheartened me. So I prayed continuously, asking Jesus to strengthen me and to grant me the power of His Holy Spirit that I might carry out His holy will in all things. Because from the beginning I have been aware of my weakness, I know very well that I am of myself. Because for this purpose, Jesus has opened the eyes of my soul. The knowledge of my own misery allows me at the same time to know immensity of your mercy. In my own interior life, I am looking with one eye at the abyss of my misery and baseness, and with the other at the abyss of your mercy, O God. So we are miserable, but we are rich on one hand, because God is with us. Oh my Jesus, you are the life of my life. You know only too well that I long for nothing but the glory of your name, and that souls come to know your goodness. Just because of suffering that today we have the chance to read all these passages, and that help us to more close to the Lord, you know. Thank her. Why do souls avoid you, Jesus? I don't understand that. Oh, if I could only cut my heart into tiny pieces and in this way offer to you, oh Jesus, each piece as a heart whole and entire, to make up in part for the hearts that do not love you. I love you, Jesus, with every drop of my blood, and would gladly shed my blood for you to give you a proof of the sincerity of my love. O God, the more I love you, the less I can comprehend you. But this non-comprehension lets me realize how great you are. And it is this impossibility of comprehending you which inflames my heart anew for you. Hold on. For the moment when you let me fix the eyes of my soul on you, O Jesus, I have been at peace and decide nothing else. I found my destiny at the moment when my soul lost itself in you, the only object of my love. In comparison with you, everything is nothing. Sufferings, adversities, humiliations, failures, and suspicions that have come my way are splinters that keep alive the fire of my love for you, O Jesus. All our material God keep us close to the Lord. My desires are met and attainable. I wish to conceal from you that I suffer, but want never to be rewarded for my efforts and my good actions. You yourself, Jesus, are my only reward. You are enough, O treasure of my heart. I want to share compassionately in the sufferings of my neighbors and to conceal my own sufferings, not only from them, but also from you, Jesus. Suffering is a great grace. Through suffering, the soul becomes like the Savior. In suffering, love comes crystallized. The greater the suffering, the purer the love. If there's no suffering, no love. Love is losing yourself, you know. One night, a sister who had died 2 months previously came to me. She was a sister of the first choir. I saw her in a terrible condition, all in flames, with her face painfully distorted. This lasted only a short time, and then she disappeared. A shudder went through my soul, because I didn't know whether she was suffering in purgatory or in hell. Nevertheless, I redoubled my prayers for her. The next night, she came again, but I saw her in an even more horrible state. In the midst of flames, which were even more intense, and despair was written all over her face. I was astonished to see her in the worst condition after prayers I had offered for her. And I asked, "Haven't my prayers helped you?" She answered that my prayers had not helped her and that nothing would help her. I said to her, "In the prayers which the whole community has offered for you, have they not been any help to you?" She said, "No, that these prayers had helped some other souls." I replied, "If my prayers aren't helping you, sister, please stop coming to me." She disappeared at once. Despite this, I kept on praying. After some time, she came back again to me during the night, but already her appearance had changed. There were no longer any flames, and there had been before, and her face was radiant, her eyes beaming with joy. She told me that I had a true love for my neighbor, and that many other souls had profited from my prayers. She urged me not to cease praying for the souls in purgatory, and she added that she herself would not remain there much longer. How astounding are the decrees of God. On one occasion, I heard these words in my soul: "Make a novena for your country. This novena will consist of the recitation of the litany of the saints. Ask the confessor for permission." I received permission at the next confession and began the novena that very evening. So what's the end of the litany? I saw great radiance. In the midst of it, God the Father. Between this radiance in the earth, I saw Jesus nailed to the cross in such a way that when God wanted to look at the earth, he had to look through the wounds of Jesus. And I understood that it was for the sake of Jesus that God bless the earth. Oh Jesus, I thank you for this great grace, namely that you yourself has died to choose a confessor for me, and that you had made me known to me in a vision even before I had met him. When I went to confession to Father Andres, I thought that I would be released from following these interior inspirations. Father replied that he could not dispense me from this, but prayer, sister, that you be given a spiritual director. After a short but fervent prayer, I saw Father Sopoko for a second time in our chapel, between the confessional and the altar. I was in Krakow at that time. These two visions bolstered up to my spirit, all the more when I found him to be just as I had seen him in the visions, once at Warsaw during my third probation and a second time at Krakow. Oh Jesus, I thank you for these great gifts. And now, when I hear people sometimes say they have no confessor, that is to say, a director, fear takes hold of me, because I know very well how much harm I myself experienced when I did not have this help. It is easier to go astray when one has no guide. Oh, life so dull and monotonous, how many treasures you contain. When look at everything with the eyes of faith, no 2 hours are alike, and the dullness and the monotony disappear. The grace which is given me in this hour will not be repeated in the next. It may be given me again, but it will not be the same grace. Time goes on, never to return again. Whatever is enclosed in it will never change. It seals, it will seal for eternity. It's what have passed in the past, you know. Always new, always joyful. Even the past moment, the sadness is gone. Always the new present, the new spirit. The will of God is different every moment. Father Sopoko must be well loved by God. I say this because I myself had experienced how much God defends him at certain moments. When I say this, I rejoice greatly that God has such chosen ones. 1929, the trip to Calvary. When I went to Vilnius for 2 months to replace a sister who had gone for her third probation, I stayed a little longer than 2 months. One day, the Mother Superior, wanting to give me a bit of pleasure, gave me permission to go together with another sister to Calvary to walk the paths, as they say. I was delighted. Although it was not very far, it was Mother Superior's wish that we should go by boat. That evening, Jesus said to me, "I want you to stay home." I answered, "Jesus, everything is ready for us to leave tomorrow morning. What am I to do now?" The Lord answered, "This trip will be harmful to your soul. I replied to Jesus, you can find a way out. Arrange things in such a way that your will be done. At that moment, the bell announced the time for sleep. I gave Jesus a parting glance and went to my cell. Next morning, the weather was beautiful, and my companion was filled with joy at the prospect of the great pleasure we would have in getting to see everything. But as for me, I was sure we would not go, even though there were no obstacles so far. We were to receive Holy Communion earlier and leave right away after the Thanksgiving. But during the time of communion, all of a sudden, the weather changed. Clouds covered the sky, and the rain came down in torrents. Everyone was stunned at such a sudden change in the weather. Mother Superior said to me, I'm so sorry, you cannot go, sisters. I answered, dear mother, it doesn't really matter that we cannot go. It was God's will that we stay home. However, no one knew that it was Jesus' expressed desire that I stay home. I spent the whole day in recollection and meditation, thanking the Lord for having kept me home that day. God granted me many heavenly consolations. It's beautiful. One time during the novitiate, when Mother Directress sent me to work in the ward's kitchen, I was very upset because I could not manage the pots, which were very heavy, very large. The most difficult task for me was draining the potatoes, and sometimes I spilled half of them with the water. When I told this to Mother's directress, she said that with time, I would get used to it and gain the necessary skill. Yet the task was not getting any easier and was growing weaker every day. So I would move away when it was time to drain the potatoes. The sisters noticed that I would avoid this task and were very much surprised. They did not know that I could not help, in spite of all my willingness to do this and not spare myself. At noon, during the examination of conscience, I complained to God about my weakness. Then I heard the following words in my soul. From today on, you will do this easily. I shall strengthen you. That evening, when the time came to drain off the water from the potatoes, I hurried to be the first to do it, trusting the Lord's words. I took up the pot with ease and poured off the water perfectly. But when I took off the cover to let the potatoes steam off, I saw there in the pot, in the place of the potatoes, whole bunch of red roses. Beautiful beyond description. I'd never seen such roses before. Greatly astonished and unable to understand the meaning of this, I heard a voice within me saying, I change such hard work of yours into bouquets of most beautiful flowers, and the perfume rises up to my throne, because she trusts, she believes. From then on, I have tried to drain the potatoes myself, only during my week. It was my turn to cook, but also in replacement of other sisters when it was their turn. Now not only do I do this, but I try to be the first to help in any other burdensome task, because I've experienced how much this pleases God. So be the first one to love, and God give us the strength, the grace, and the joy to follow.